for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, May the 29th, 2011. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Love Fulfills the Law.
I think Jerry's ready up here. She's got a Bible and it looks like a notebook, and I reckon it's time to preach, Jerry. Yes. Jerry McGee from Lindell, Texas. Amen. She's our friend.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate you. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that every dollar of that stimulus money will go to the saints. Those angels to get it, Lord. Bring it into Lake Hamilton. Bring it into our each person, Lord, that loves you with your whole heart. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Father, we come to you in the mighty holy name of Jesus, and we confess that you're the teacher. Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to download me with a download from heaven in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray today that I be a tree of life, that rivers of living water come forth from my innermost being, Lord. Out to your children, make my words like goads, like well-driven nails, Lord, given by you the shepherd. And Lord, even if I say it wrong, I ask you to take the power of your Holy Spirit and impart it to the heart. And I ask you to take human ears and make them be able to hear more than they could normally hear in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we can't walk in love unless you do a work in us, in Jesus' name. Well, it's amazing how the different messages fit together. Nobody knows what anybody's teaching, but my message tonight is love fulfills God's law. And what is the law? It's teaching, instruction, and it means a term employed almost 200 times in the Bible and signifying the revealed will of God with respect to human conduct. It includes all the divine commands and precepts for regulating man's moral life from without and within. And Lord, we ask you to cover this place with the blood of Jesus. And Lord, thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. And we take our seat in the heavenly places. We take the keys you've given us to the kingdom of heaven to bind and loose. And we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you from our lives, our houses, our lands, from the saints all over this earth, from everything that concerns us and the saints all over this earth. We bind you from this camp. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ is Lord. We nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, and ritual that's been spoken over us. And Lord, we ask you to put a special covering of warrior angels over this camp, over us, over the individual ministries, over our churches, over our children, to boomerang back on the enemy every curse and assignment that's sent against us. Not to kill them, hurt them, harm them, but so they'll fear God and see how dare they try to curse anything you've blessed. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Love, according to 1 Corinthians 13, is patient. So that means hate is impatient, right? Love is kind. That means hate is unkind. Love is not jealous or envious, and so that means hate is jealous and envious. If love does not take into account a wrong suffered, hate takes into account a wrong suffered. If love does not act unbecomingly, hate acts unbecomingly. And the scripture says if love forgives, hate is unforgiving. And this morning, Bo taught on forgiveness as being a requirement. And of course, that is one of the aspects of love, is forgiveness. To treat others the way you want to be treated, the scripture says this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12 says, therefore all things, have a lot of scripture, and if you want to follow along or if you want to let me quote them, and I'll have you to go, take you some places. But I've taught this message once before, and it took me 4 hours, so I'm not going to teach 4 hours. Just relax. We'll be out of here at 9:30. But because of that, I'll have to read some of the scriptures, and you can make note of them, write them down, and look them up. Because I want to back up everything that I'm saying in the Word of God. If it's not in the Word of God, chunk it. And that's why today, in so many places, the Word of God is not taught. What is so sad is the church doesn't ever hardly hear the word sin and repent of your sin. You know, I've had people tell me that, the devil is attacking them right and left, every which way. Can I tell you, it's because of sin that you're being attacked. Now, if it has to do with being a martyr, that's a little different. All through the Bible, people were martyred for their faith. I'm not talking about martyrdom. We haven't experienced that yet in America. But 99% of why the devil is attacking us is because of sin in our life. It's not, oh, the devil made me do it, you poor thing, you got a demon problem. Hey, you got a God problem, not a demon problem. Deal with your sin, and it's boo, demon. The minute you repent, the demons move off. Sometimes I tell people that call me, they have so many issues that I don't even know where to start. So I tell them, you need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to get along with the Lord, and you need to start reading the Bible and start repenting over every verse, because if you haven't done it or should have done it and didn't do it or did it and shouldn't have done it, your forefathers did or didn't. So deal with your sin. Break generational curses. The greatest deliverance you can have is just line your life up with the Word of God. Deliverance in a nutshell is James 4:7. Number one, give yourself to God. Number two, resist the devil and he'll flee. Now, I know some people are just afraid to bind the devil. They're afraid to deal with principalities. Well, let me tell you, the devil is higher than the principalities. And if God says resist the devil, it means you can resist the devil. I resist the devil all the time, and how I resist him is just keep lining myself up with the Word, and he doesn't bother me. Until I get out of line, or until God's trying to teach me something, which is regularly. but then I get back, my life gets back in peace. The minute I line with the Lord, my life comes back into peace. Go Matthew 7:12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Matthew 22 says that the whole law is fulfilled when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and your neighbor as yourself. James 2:8 says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Religious people, the Pharisees, they keep the physical law of the Old Testament, but they neglect the weightier things of the law, which is to love their neighbor as their self. Matthew 23:23 says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and these were real fragrant things that they would bring in just to be to make a show, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. In one place, Jesus said, you can do what the Pharisees say, but don't do what they do. Jesus gives the plan of salvation in Luke 10:26, and I want you to turn there. Luke 10:26, he gives the plan of salvation. A lawyer comes to Jesus, and he said, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And this is what he said in verse 26 of chapter 10. And behold, in 25, a certain lawyer stood up and put him, Jesus, to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, the man said to him, Jesus said, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? In other words, Jesus told this man, what does the law say? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. In other words, Jesus won't be one of your idols. Nothing can take his place in your life. He has to be first place. And Jesus said to him, after the man said what the law said, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said, you have answered correctly, do this and you shall live. Meaning, do this and you shall have eternal life. Now that's the plan of salvation. I used to be a teacher trainer in Evangelism Explosion. Pray the prayer, you're saved, brother. Not so. That's where it begins, but salvation, we have to work our salvation out with fear and trembling. That means you got to deal with your anger. You got to deal with your unforgiveness. You got to deal with your bitterness. You got to deal with your self-pity. You got to deal with your button pushers. All of those things are rooted in idolatry. And Jesus said, you will have no other gods before me. And that was in chapter 20. And so just like there are physical laws, there are spiritual laws. In the physical, when you violate the laws of the land, you get arrested, or you have to go to court, or you get sent to prison if you break the laws of the land, or you pay a fine. In the spirit realm, when you break God's law through not walking in love, guess what? The Bible says in James, there's one lawgiver and one judge, and that's God. Matthew 5 says, when you're angry with your brother, you go into a spiritual prison and you will stay there until you forgive. Because God, look, turn to Matthew chapter 5, please. James, in the book of James, it says, we are to be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, in the Old Testament, they had to keep the letter of the law. And Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law in Matthew 5. He came to fulfill it. But go there first. Go to Matthew chapter 5. We've been short on love. I used to think I just loved everybody. And the more I walk on with God, the more I realize I haven't loved anybody but myself. Maybe y'all can't relate to that, but I can. Matthew 5:17 says, Jesus said, do not think I came to abolish the law, but or the prophets. I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So he's saying, you still have to keep it, but now you don't keep the letter of the law. You keep the spirit of the law, which is to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. He says, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth shall pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever annuls one of the least of these commandments and so teaches others, in other words, teaches others that the Old Testament is not important, he says he shall be the least in the kingdom of heaven. It says, but whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The scripture says I believe it's in Daniel, that if we teach people righteousness, we'll be like the stars that shine in heaven. Hallelujah. And then he gives you the Old Testament blessings and curses. It's found in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. In the New Testament, the blessings and the curses is found in Matthew 5. It says, and opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, blessed, which is the opposite of cursed, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, not moan, but mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who are gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers, but the peacemakers. A peacekeeper is, don't get mad at me, I'll do whatever you say. A peacemaker will confront sin in love, and that other person might have a fit, foam at the mouth, and fall in it. But they walk in love and speak the truth in love. But for us to speak the truth in love, we have to have a clear conscience, because in 1 John 3:21 it says, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence, which means faith and trust in God, and it means freedom of speech. If you're hesitant, or you have, you feel like something's keeping you back, there's something, there's an issue in your conscience that God wants to clear up. And so, he says, blessed are those who have been, who are peacemakers, not peacekeepers. It's a sin to be a peacekeeper when God said he's made your mouth like a sharp sword. I don't like being a sword, do you? He's not popular. You're not as fun as everybody else is. I don't mean to be obnoxious, and I've been that too. I'm working on that. But God says, I've made your mouth like a sharp sword. I have concealed you with the shadow of my hand. I have made you like a sharp arrow, and I've hidden you in my quiver. Well, that means you're in the quiver, and he's ready to pull you out with the sword of the Spirit to speak the word. He didn't come to bring peace, but he came to bring a sword. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad. Well, let's back up. In verse 11, blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely, not because it's true, falsely, on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste and you're tasteless, how will it be salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled under feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Well, this is in the New Testament blessings, and there's only one curse. Go to Matthew 5:22. The curse is that when you break God's law through being angry and you've got till sundown to get over it, you go into a spiritual prison. So, with every physical law that's broken, there's a physical court. In the spirit realm, when you break God's law of love, there's a spiritual courtroom, and it says in James, there's one lawgiver and there's one judge, and it's God. And so let's read Matthew 5. Now, James says that we're to be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So what he's saying there is anger breaks God's law of love. So you read the blessing, blessed, blessed, blessed is the blessings of the New Testament. And now let's see the curse. It says, but I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother should be guilty before the court. Now there's the spiritual court. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, meaning you fool, you empty head, you're not worth it. How many of you said that or thought that? Shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever shall say you fool shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Now that word in the Greek means the final place of punishment for the ungodly. It says in Galatians 5, and we're going to read it in a minute, that if you practice anger, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God because you're a lawbreaker. Anger is rooted in idolatry. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. In other words, when you go to pray and you remember somebody's got aught against you, you don't have anything against them, but they've got aught against you, go and get it right and then come and pray. It says, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge. And James 4:11-12 says, there's one lawgiver and there's one judge. And the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison, and it's a spiritual prison. So just like there is physical laws of the land where there's a judge in a courtroom, in the spirit realm, when we break God's law of love, there's a spiritual prison, and God's the judge, and a spiritual courtroom. While you're with him on the way, in order that your opponent does not deliver you to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you that you shall not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. Until you forgive, you will stay in that prison. If you're angry at 10,000 people, that means you're in 10,000 different prisons. So you see, the blessings and the curses in the New Testament is when you break God's law of love, you go into a spiritual prison. And that's why Satan knows that in satanic rituals, if they can get people into unforgiveness, they got them trapped. And until you forgive, there's no salvation, there's no deliverance, there's no healing, and you'll stay in that prison until you forgive. Matthew 18 says, when you don't forgive, you're turned over to the tormentors, which means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor. And an inquisitor is a jailer that would stretch someone out on a rack and torture them till they get what they want. They do that in the occult. In Satan worship, they have inquisitors that stretch people out and torture them till they get what they want. And so the scripture says love does not take into account a wrong suffered, and love forgives. In the Old Testament, they had to keep the letter of the law. We don't keep the letter of the law anymore. We just remember to love. And it's not easy to love somebody that's not lovely. For me to love, I have to choose God's way over His way, my way. I have to choose to let it go. How do you love? You turn the potter's wheel. Those of you who were in here earlier and you saw me illustrate a potter's wheel and somebody trying to turn the potter's wheel, which is a picture of a person trying to perform, you can't love that way. I've tried. How many of you have tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to love somebody and you just couldn't do it? The only way you can love is when you present your body to God as a living sacrifice, choose to give up your life, and then the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus will come through. When you present your body to God as a living sacrifice, then His holy character, His resurrected life comes through. It's not your love, it's His. I remember a time in my life when my son died of AIDS. I remember thinking, you know, if my son dies, it'll be so hard to forgive his stepfather for not loving him. But you know, when he died, I said, Lord, there's nothing in me that can respect or love this man. I've tried to love him. I've read all the books on love. I've tried and tried and tried and tried. And God, I am bankrupt. There's nothing in me can love this man. But I said, but God, I love you with all my heart, and I will live with this man forever if that's what you want. But if you want me to love him, you're going to have to put it in my heart because it's just not there. I said, God, you're love, and you're the lover of the universe. And can I tell you, God did put love in my heart because I chose to forgive. I chose His way over my way. And you cannot manufacture love. You can try to love all day long, and the only way you can love is to die. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 says, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested, made actual, exposed to view in my mortal body. John 12 says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, and you're the wheat. You're not the tare, you're the wheat. But unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's His love, His joy, His peace, His long-suffering, His gentleness, His goodness, His faith. It's His life. It's His personality, not yours. When you're alive, let me tell you, when I'm alive, I'm not a nice person. The other day I went to get some barbecue and I had called early and said, be sure and have it ready, and I had to have it at a party at a certain time. Now, normally I give a salvation tract to everybody I meet. I didn't pass out any tracts that day because I didn't want them to know I was a Christian. Yeah, I got there and they were supposed to, I even called to confirm. And see, it's been an idol in my life of being, you know, somebody being incompetent. And it's almost like, I'm so competent, I'm so wonderful. You see how you usurp, if God made you competent, it's because of His grace, not because you're so hot. But anyway, I was so ashamed of myself. I apologized to the manager. I called to confirm, have it ready. When I got there, he hadn't ground it up. He hadn't chopped the onions. They hadn't put it together. They put a gallon of sauce in a plastic thing and a cracked plastic thing, wrapped it with a little thin thing of saran wrap and busted in the parking lot. Anyway, I said, please forgive me for being so grouchy. Anyway, it was a test and I didn't pass it. No, I didn't pass it. But I want to pass it. And the next time I'm going to pass it, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, next time I'm in a situation like that, if you'll remind me about my attitude, I will repent. But I forgot. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. So in Matthew 22, saying the whole law of the Old Testament commandments is fulfilled in this one statement, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. Now I want you to go to Galatians because I want you to see this in Galatians 5:16. Praise God, I can see my Bible. Praise the Lord. A couple of years ago, I could not read my Bible up here with my glasses on, and I thank the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yes, I praise you, Lord. Verse 16. Well, let's go back to 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, now you can eat people up with your mouth, but I say to you, by this walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. Oh, I thought I was saved by grace. Yes, you are, but we don't do the things we please. We die to ourselves. Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple unless you're willing to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow him. So if you prayed a prayer to receive Jesus and you've never been willing to deny yourself and take up your cross, can I tell you, you need to get saved? Because that is a requirement, is to continue to put to death the deeds of your flesh. It's a walk. There's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that finds it. That's a little different than what these people with these phony baloney revivals that are going on all over the country with all this drunkenness stuff, drunk in the spirit and twitching, jerking, hopping, kicking, all of that kind of stuff. They'll tell you that the whole world's going to be saved. They're going to be worshiping the beast. There's a narrow way that leads to eternal life. And there's a remnant that God is being saved out of this big conglomeration of people that say that they are Christian. You know, Howard Pittman says 90% of church members are lost. Leonard Ravenhill said 98% of church members were lost. It says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So you could say if you're not being led by the Spirit through putting to death the deeds of your flesh, you are under the law. Romans 8 says that we're to put to death the deeds of the flesh, for sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again. So sons of God are led by the Spirit of God through putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality. Is that in your life? Do you think nothing of shacking up, looking at pornography, committing adultery in your heart? Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not a one-time sin. It's a lifestyle. It's a habit. It's a custom. If that's been your habit, your custom, and your lifestyle, you practice it. It's not a one-time sin. And I'm not talking about save, lost. I don't believe that. Neither do I believe that you just, the minute you pray a prayer, you get your ticket punched. You got to walk it out. It's a walk that begins when you receive Jesus. You walk it out, you're saved, being saved, and ultimately will be saved. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, now that's God's character, that's not yours. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Beware of places that call it revival when there's no self-control. Everybody is screaming, hollering, freaking out. Like Jim taught last night, it's demon possession is what it is. I've watched some of these videos where people are supposedly getting the Holy Spirit and they scream blood-curdling screams like the demons are hurting them. And they are. They're being demon-possessed. It's like a voodoo ritual. He's right. It says, which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There is a law when you're living after the flesh. When my flesh is alive, and it was alive at that barbecue place. And I'm not proud of it, but I just want to say, hey, we're all a work in progress. These things are not acceptable in our life. And I will be on guard next time for that not to happen. Coming home, I thought of this scripture, if I ever had a sin in my life, is impatience. And you know what it says in Ecclesiastes? It's better to be of a patient spirit than a haughty spirit. And coming home, I was so convicted, I thought, you are so haughty. And that's all it is. And I'm more patient than I used to be. It used to, I would be having a happy day, and it'd be like a demon would shoot an arrow of impatience at me. Yeah! Thank God that's gone. That one's gone. Anyway, God, we know that you cannot love unless you're willing to give up your life. Had I stood there and thought, Lord, if it'd glorify you the most for them to cut the onions all day, for me to be late, all of this, just give it up, just let it go, that enter God's rest, enter God's peace, I would be fulfilling God's law. Galatians 6:2 says, bear with one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Timothy 1:8 says the law is only for lawbreakers. If there's no law when my life produces the fruit of the Spirit, because that's the fruit of God's holy character, there is a law when my life is not producing God's holy character through my dying to my life. 1 Timothy 1:8 says, but we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and mothers, for kidnappers, murderers, liars, manslayers. And it goes on to say, if anything else that's contrary to sound doctrine, which would be any scripture that you violate in the Word of God. So there's no law when your life produces the fruit of the Spirit, when your life, which is God's character. There is a law when you're living after the flesh. And when you're living after the flesh, there is a law. To illustrate, if I drive through Hot Springs and the speed limit is 45 miles an hour, and I drive 45 miles an hour, I'm not under the law of Hot Springs. But if I drive 50 miles an hour in a 45 zone or 46 in a 45 zone, I have broke the laws of Hot Springs and I come back under their law. And my point is, you're not under this law till you disobey it. And the demons are the executors of God's law. They're the officer that throws you in prison. God is the judge. The spiritual is a spiritual prison. And it said, be careful if you're angry that God doesn't turn you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, which is the demon power, and you be thrown in prison, which is a spiritual prison. You know, we just put up with these kind of things in our life. We put up with our temper. We put up with our anger. We put up with our self-pity. We put up with our perversion. And God says those things have to go. I can't live after those things if I want to receive eternal life. And, you know, I will deal with those things only for one reason. It's because I love God. I'm not afraid God's going to kill me. I just love God, and I want to please Him. And when you love God with your whole heart, you're going to forgive your brother. And you're going to love your brother because you love God with your whole heart. And so when we become lawbreakers, like in any courtroom, there are consequences. James 4:11 through 12 says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren." We've all done that. "He speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it." James 4:12. "There's one lawgiver and one judge, the one who's able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" James 5:9. "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Look, the judge is already standing at the door." And so the consequences of us breaking God's law is that we step outside of God's authority, and we step out into Satan's territory, and we are allowed to be attacked and taken captive by the powers of darkness. Now, if you want to turn the overhead, oh, you all have it. Okay, the first one. That's what happens. The enemy can swallow you up, and that's 1 Peter 5:8. "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour," means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. Now, those of you who minister deliverance, there's people that you pray for that it's like a wall. It's like you feel like nothing's happening. Have y'all experienced that? It's because they're in the demons. You can have demons in you, but when we minister deliverance and all of us, and sometimes it's like nothing's happening, they don't get it, it's like they're in a spiritual prison. And when the Lord showed me this, He gave me a message on being swallowed up. And there was a man that came to me from Fort Smith, Arkansas, and the Lord showed me that he was swallowed up. So I started looking up at all the scriptures on swallowed up. And so I said, "Well, Lord, how do I get him out of there?" And the Lord said, "Just jerk him out." And I jerked him out. He said, "Wow, I felt that." So you can be in the demons, and that's 1 Peter 5:8. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. You can be swallowed up by spirits of fear. Somebody molests you. Fear swallows you up. Okay, the next one. Next one. I'm sorry. Go ahead and do the next one. "God says, come unto me." Next one. Is that it? Is that the potter's wheel or his refuge? It's the potter's wheel. Huh? Find one that says his refuge. Anyway, God's the potter and you're the clay, and the potter does all the work. Is that right? He beats the bubbles out of the clay. He takes the trash out. He turns the potter's wheel. He does everything but give up to the potter. That's your job. You do one thing, give up control of your life, let go of your life, surrender, and the potter does the rest. Okay, there it is. Okay, the umbrella represents Psalms 91. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty." When you're under His authority, that same thing is walking in the Spirit. For me to stay there, I have to continually be putting to death the deeds of my flesh. That means to present your body to God as a living sacrifice. Walk in the highway of holiness is another way of saying it. Job 28 is another way of saying it. Walk in the path of wisdom no demon in hell knows. Satan himself doesn't know the way of wisdom. Isaiah 35 talks about the highway of holiness. Those are just ways of saying when you're under God's authority, there's no law. The minute you step outside of God's authority, you come back under the law. And the demons are the executors of God's law. God didn't move, you did. You stepped into another realm through your sin. And please don't believe the lie that you're just overrun with demons. You're overrun with sin. Start repenting of your sin and the demons will start just moving off. Okay, the next one. And then when you get outside of God's refuge, there's where the fiery darts fly. In Psalms 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide in the shadow and protection of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you're my fortress, my God, my refuge. I'll not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day or the pestilence that stalks at noontime, for 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I'll only look on with my eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? Because I've made the Lord my refuge. I will tread on the lion, the cobra, even the young lion and the serpent I'll trample down. Because I love the Lord, he will deliver me. Go to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 11, please. Isaiah 30, verse 11. It says, get out of the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, since you have rejected this word and have put your trust in oppression and guile and have relied on them, your idolatry, therefore this iniquity will be to you like a breach about to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose collapse comes suddenly in an instant and whose collapse is like the smashing of a potter's jar, so ruthlessly shattered that a shard or a piece of it will not even be found among the pieces. To take fire from a hearth or to scoop water from the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing, and you said no, for we will flee on horses, which represents flesh. So God wants us to enter his rest. That right there, we're resting, repentance and rest keeps us right there. God wants us to live in a state of rest. It's a curse in Deuteronomy 28 when our life is in turmoil and in unrest. He wants us to live in rest. Another way of saying this is being on the potter's wheel. What does the clay do? It rests on the potter's wheel. Matthew 11, 28 and 29, when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my burden is light and my load is easy. Go ahead and do the next one. And we're out there, that's where the arrow flies, that's where we get swallowed up out there. The reason is we've made other things our refuge. Go to the next one. All of these things we've made a refuge is all idolatry. Love, money, power, sex, relationships, family, finances, jobs, houses, lands, acceptance, love. All of those things, if I could just find somebody to love me, to value me, to appreciate me. I've made a refuge out of those things to cope. And it says in Nahum 3:12, when it says all of our fortresses, all of your fortresses, all of your refuges are fig trees with early figs. If they're shaken, they will fall into the mouth of the eater. So that's a shaky foundation out there. If you find the first ripe fig of summer, what do? You pop it in your mouth and you get swallowed up. And so that's what the word says. When you're out there, the enemy swallows you up. When you're in his refuge, the Bible says the breath of the ruthless, and I don't know where this scripture is, but the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall. Have you ever been in the house when it's raining and the rain is hitting the windows and it's hitting the walls, but it's not getting in? God says when you're in his refuge, the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall. Proverbs says the highway of the upright is depart from evil. So when I depart from evil by choosing put to death the deeds of my flesh, I'm on the highway of holiness. I'm walking the way of wisdom, and no demon in hell can even see me. The other day I had a mother hen that was sitting on an egg, and I went out and I didn't see nothing. I kept going out to check. One day she bowed up, and I couldn't see the baby chick, but I could hear it. And I thought, isn't that how God covers us? The enemy can't see us, but he can hear us chirping when we're praising God. Amen? Okay, Colossians 3:8-16. God uses the devil as his instrument to keep us in line. He uses the demons to to do vengeance for his covenant. They are the officers that execute his law when we step out from under his authority. Colossians, and I want to give you these scriptures because I want you to see it in the Word. Colossians 3:16. For it was in him that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen and unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, our things were created and exist through him by his service, intervention, and in him and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist. Because everything was made by him and for him, and there was not anything that was made that wasn't made for him. Proverbs 17:11, a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Leviticus 26:25, it says, and I'll bring a sword when we break his covenant. He said, I'll bring a sword. The covenant is kept in the New Testament when we walk in love. He said, I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute the vengeance for the breaking of my covenant. And you shall be gathered together within your cities, and I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hands of the enemy. So when I step out here, outside of God's refuge, I'm making something else a refuge, and because I make the Lord my refuge, no plague can come near me. Now all of us have had things in our life that was a plague. Having eye problems has been a plague. It's a curse. Sickness is a curse. And all of us have got some stuff. If we live long enough, we will. But the answer to it is found in this word. Where have I violated God's word? Because when I make the Lord my refuge, even the most high my habitation, no evil will befall me, nor no plague will come near my dwelling. Well, hey, I've got a plague in my dwelling. Is it because God's word's not true? It's because I have violated his word my forefathers have. Skin cancer that's running the family. The other day, the Lord convicted me because I'm looking for answers to that. And, your nose has to do with authority and judging. And I've probably, in the past, judged everybody in the world. And this discipline is helping me. It's causing my fear of God to pick up. And I thank God for his discipline. But the Lord showed me how my forefathers hated authority. I had forefathers that rebelled against the government and moved to another country. And see, and I have not done any better. I've cursed authority too. And I'm still working on repenting of that. I catch myself all the time thinking, rah, 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 rah. But that was the latest thing the Lord showed me. Okay, go to Hosea chapter 8. Verse 1, Hosea 8:1. Verse 1, put the trumpet to your lips. Like an eagle, the enemy comes up against the house of the Lord. And now why? Because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. They cry out to me, my God, we of Israel, we're the church, we're Christians, we know you. Israel has rejected the good. The enemy will pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have appointed princes, but I did not know it. With their silver and gold, they have made idols for themselves, that they might be cut off. He has rejected your calf, your golden calf, O Samaria, saying, my anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of innocence? Okay, Proverbs 16:7 says, if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. If you've got a King James Bible, go to Psalm 17:13. It says, the wicked are his sword. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. So all the evil people that are here in the world, they just think they're in control. God's in control. The devil cannot do anything God does not let him do. He is a created being, created by God and for God. Isaiah 54:16 says, behold, I have created the smith who blows on the fire of coals and who produces a weapon for its purpose. And I have created the devastator to destroy. Okay, go to Acts chapter 13, please. Verse 21. Acts 13, verse 38. It says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren. Now, this is speaking to Christians. Is that right? We're in the New Testament. That through him, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Take heed, therefore, brethren, that the things spoken of in the prophets, and that's Joshua through Malachi, may not come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish, for I'm doing, accomplishing a work in your days, a work you would not believe, even if someone should describe it to you. Now that was taken out of Habakkuk 1. Go to Habakkuk 1. Habakkuk 1. Habakkuk gets a vision of a supernatural army, and this has never before happened in history. In verse 2, it says, how long, O Lord, will I call for help, and thou wilt not hear? Cry out to thee, I cry out to thee violence, yet thou dost not say. It says, why dost thou make me see iniquity and cause me to look at wickedness? And we're really, right now, we're seeing it all around us in America. Yes, destruction and violence are before thee. Strife exists and contention arises. James 3:16 says, where there's contention and strife, there's every demonic work. Therefore, the law is ignored. Now, what is the law in the New Testament? Is love. Because the law is ignored, I get into strife. I want my own way. I want to throw a fit. I want to manipulate. I want to control. And justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I'm doing something in your days that you would not believe if you were told. Now, we just read that in Acts. It said, beware of what's happening. Something that's going to happen in the prophets, you better beware of it. Warning us in the New Testament. That scripture in Acts was taken right out here out of Habakkuk. And it's all through the prophets in the Word of God. The law of Moses is Genesis through Deuteronomy. And the law, the prophets is Joshua through Malachi. It says, for behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans. That could be all the terrorists that we hear that are forming around everywhere. That fierce and touches people who march throughout the earth. And, of course, it's a type and shadow of the powers of darkness. To seize dwelling places which are not theirs. Now, if Jesus is your Lord, are you a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit? And you don't belong to them. Is that right? They are dreaded and feared. You can mention the word demon in a lot of places and people feel very uncomfortable. But I believe that the physical Chaldeans are the enemies that are here in our land. The spiritual Chaldeans are the powers of darkness. It's a type and shadow of the powers of darkness. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. They're lawless. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. Acts is warning us about something that's happening in the prophets that we better beware of, that it don't come on us. They fly like an eagle, swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their hordes of faces move forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and they heap up rubble and capture it. They will sweep through like the wind and pass on, that they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. And so whatever is our, we're making a refuge out of, that's what we're trusting to be our strength. And then Habakkuk asked God a question. Are thou not from everlasting to everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We will not die. Thou, O Lord, hast appointed them to judge, and thou, O Rock, hast established them to correct. Why? Because your eyes are too pure to approve evil. You've allowed them to correct. They see sin, they have the legal right to move in. And in the ladies' meeting, we talked about a house with all the windows open. It's a picture of legal right that the enemy can come in because they've got legal right to do so. What we have to do is shut the windows one by one. Close the doors one by one so the enemy cannot attack. And Habakkuk asked God a question and then he answers it. He said, your eyes are too pure to approve evil. Art thou not from everlasting to everlasting, my Holy One? Thou, O Lord, has appointed them to judge. All that's going on in America, all that's going on in the spirit realm, has to do with God allowing the enemy to do some things here in America, maybe to wake us all up. And Lord, I want to wake up before it's too late. And I know you do too. So God, there's other places, but I just wanted you to see that the wicked is God's instrument to do vengeance for His covenant. The enemy is the officer that takes us into prison when we don't love God with our whole heart and our neighbor as ourselves. And so when we practice love, we fulfill the law. There's no law when we walk in love. There is a law when we do not walk in love. And when we die to our life, the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus comes through. And that takes a moment-by-moment continual dying to my life so that I can love. And let me just say, loving somebody doesn't mean that you're going to enable them. It doesn't mean that you're going to support their drug habit. It doesn't mean that you're going to give them money so they can keep on sinning. Because when you do that, I don't know if I have the illustration, but go ahead and, yeah, now just say, if say I have a rebellious child and they're out there and the enemy's attacking them, what I do, the next one, Diane, I run out, one more, and I try to cover them with my umbrella, and guess who gets hit? I do. You see, that's a twisted kind of mercy. It takes a greater love to separate the holy from the profane, which is not popular. It's amazing to me when you try to do the right thing, everybody criticizes you like you're the mean one. Is that right? You're the bad guy? You might as well get used to it. When you follow God, you're not going to be popular. And if you want to please people more than you want to please God, I'm telling you, you're on the wrong track because you're not going to please people. And the closer you get to God, the less you're going to please people. And the fewer people are going to go with you. Someone has said that the narrow way is single file. Is that right? You know, sometimes you want to be the family member that's the one that's fun. And you're not fun sometimes to people that are wanting to be worldly. Or maybe they're not really doing anything, but just kind of lukewarm. God says if we're lukewarm, He's going to spit us out of His mouth. Okay? You see, well, all of that's over there in the Old Testament. Did you know that they had, Jesus taught out of the Old Testament, Paul taught out of the Old Testament, the disciples taught out of the Old Testament because the New Testament hadn't even been written yet. Okay, Luke 2:24-44 says, and Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy, and in the prophets, Joshua through Malachi, and in the Psalms concerning me. Acts 24:14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, Paul said, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. In Acts 28:23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified to the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. Now, does the scripture also say all scripture is given for what? Quote it. All scripture is given for correction, reproof, doctrine, instruction, that the man of God might be perfected. I don't know why that scripture, I always have a hard time quoting it. But all scripture is, find it somebody, all scripture is given for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be fully, read it out of King James, real loud where it'll come across the thing here. Praise the Lord. Where do we ever get that the Old Testament wasn't for today? What demon taught us that? That's the doctrine of a demon, okay? Now that's the Old and New Testament. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to quickly read some facts about the law, and you can just note these verses and look them up. Ezra 7:10 says we are to seek the law of God, to do it and to teach it. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord, the law of the Lord, and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Psalms 19 says it converts the soul and makes us wise. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Can I tell you, you can go to Deliverance Ministers day and night, 24/7, every day, but if you're not in the Word of God and not working out your salvation yourself, guess what? They're going to all come back 8 more. So you have got to get in the Word of God and memorize it, meditate on it, and repent over it. If obeyed, you'll not fall. Psalms 37:31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Psalms 48 says he writes it upon the heart of his disciples. Psalm 78 says we're to give ear to the law of the Lord. Psalm 78:10 said the children of Israel, just like us today, refused to walk according to his law. And they had the old covenant law, but we have the law of love that we have to follow after, which covers all of the law. Psalms 89:30, a covenant promise, God will use a rod on our children when they do not walk according to his law. And it's because of his great love. But what we do when he starts to use the rod, we run and grab it. No, God! Please don't let him be homeless. Please don't let him be hungry. I know my son would be alive today had my mother not sent him. It was 1,800 to 2,200, something like that, a month. This was back in 1985 until he died in 89. But she couldn't bear the thought for him to be. And I'm not saying this in a critical way because I didn't try to stop her. I didn't want him on the street either. But as I look back, had he had to sleep on the street, had he had to be hungry, had he not been pampered, it wouldn't have took AIDS to bring him to salvation. He'd still be alive today. Enablers, what you do when you able, you prolong the agony, you make the situation worse, and you're the one that gets the whipping because you're in rebellion trying to be Superman to rescue them. God blesses us when we let him teach us out of the law, Psalms 94:12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastens, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. God blesses us when we walk according to his law, Psalms 119:9. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Psalms 119:18 says we have to have our eyes open to be able to receive the revelation of his law. Open our eyes, God, and let us see. And we need understanding, which is the truth that sets us free. Psalms 119:44, his law is to be kept forever and ever without end. That means it don't end in the new covenant. It takes humility to keep the law. Psalms 119:51, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined, but yet I have not declined from thy law. Psalms 119:53, the wicked forsake his law. How can you forsake something you never claim to have? God's calling believers that forsake his law wicked. It's not talking about a wicked person forsaking his law. It's talking about somebody that claimed to know it. Psalms 119:61, even when the wicked try to rob me, I'm not going to forget his law. Psalms 119:70, the proud have a fat heart and do not delight in God's commandments. That could be one of the roots to heart problems. Psalms 119:72, God's law is better than having gold and silver. Glory to God. There's a day coming when water is going to be more valuable. This water well out here is going to be more valuable than gold and silver. Psalms 119:77, delighting in God's law brings his tender mercies. Glory to God. Psalms 119, 192, in times of great grief and distress, I would have perished had I not had the Word of God. I can say I would have perished in my affliction. The years that I wrestled with having a son living a homosexual lifestyle. And if you're listening on the internet, I'm not condemning you for that. That's no worse than gluttony or any other sin. It just seems, sin is sin. It's an abomination to the Lord. So, you know, adultery and fornication is just as bad. So I'm not condemning your lifestyle, but I'm telling you that like any sin, if you don't repent, you'll go to hell. That's what I would tell my son. Son, if you do not repent, you're going to go to hell. He'd been baptized 3 times, grew up in the church. He knew what it meant to die to his flesh when he was 16 years old. There's been times that I would have perished in my affliction had I not known God's Word. Psalms 119, 97, if I love His law, I will meditate on it day and night. Psalms 119, 109, when my head is hanged down in my hands through sorrow, I do not forget your law. You know, sometimes when I'm going through distress and you're going through distress, hey, that's when you can really get a hold of the horns of the altar. Psalms 119, 113, thoughts that are not rooted in His law are vain thoughts. Psalms 119, 126, when we break His law, we make it void. His law is truth. Psalms 119, 142. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. And I want you to see that whenever we are alive to our flesh, we invalidate God's covenant. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death to one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead. And I want you to circle dead and put Romans 12:1. Present your body to God as a living sacrifice. It's not talking about going out and killing yourself. It means die to your flesh. For a covenant is only valid when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. So we break God's covenant when we're alive to our flesh. Psalms 119, 142, His law is truth. Where did we ever get the idea that we don't have to keep His law? You know, we don't go out and say, well, I'm going to be saved. I keep His law because I'm going to be saved. I want to be saved. If your obedience is the fruit of salvation, you don't obey to be saved. You don't do all the rigmarole to be saved. You obey because you are. You love God. You've got a new heart. He took out your stony heart. You just can't stand it when you displease the Lord. If you're truly born again, you want to please God. And if you're still in the stage of wanting to please yourself, get saved. Get born again. I accepted the Lord 5 years before I was ever born again. My life did not change at all. I kept cussing. I kept smoking. I kept telling dirty jokes. My mother used to say, whatever you do it. You go to extreme with everything you do. And I want that to be true of the Lord. But when I got born again, God delivered me from cursing almost 50 years ago. And He's still delivering me today. A precious person I know says, don't keep saying you've got demons. You know what? That's a part of the sanctification process. Deliverance is just sanctification, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that word means deliverance from the molestation of the enemy. Don't say you got a demon problem. Say, I got a God problem. God, how do I get my life right with you so you'll move these demons off? I'm tired of these demons beating me up, God. You see, if the demons are beating you up, If the demons are beating me up, now back up one more. Get over there and they'll leave you alone. Hallelujah. You know, unless it's time for us to be martyred, if we're going to be martyred, I hope to God it never happens. But it's different from being martyred versus being in rebellion. Isaiah 2:3 says the law will go forth from Zion. That's the city of the Lord. We're Zion. Joshua 1:7 says, only be very strong and courageous. and observe to do according to all that's in the law of Moses, my servant commanded me, turn not from it to the right or the left. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but day and night I will be careful to do all that's according to what's in it. I'll meditate on it day and night, and everything I do will be a success, and everything I do will be prosperous. The more you line your life up with the Word, the more God can bless you. I remember Carol Balazay said, if I want God to bless me, I have to be blessable. He's not going to bless my sin. He's not going to bless my idols. I'm in distress because of idolatry. And there's a scripture in Job that Carla gave me that says when we observe lying vanities, in other words, we want that more than we want God, we forsake our own mercy. It's only when we go to the throne of grace and deal with things God's way. I'm going to just keep on, and we're going to stop it in a minute here. Isaiah 8:16, the disciples obey the law that has been bound up and sealed for them. Isaiah 8:20, if we are a minister and we don't speak according to the law of God's word, it's because we have no light in us. Isaiah 39, lying, stubborn, and rebellious children will not hear the law of the Lord. Isaiah 42:21, God's law will be magnified and made honorable in the day of the Lord. Isaiah 51:7, those who have God's law in their heart need not fear shaming or reviling of others. It's what God thinks about you that counts. Jeremiah 2:8, pastors transgress against the law and prophets prophesied by Baal, and they're doing that today. This fire, that is in honor of Baal the fire god. People go through these fire tunnels. They go in there and they come out like this. And you know, like in Molech, when they would worship Baal, they would go up the mountain, and if you watch these old-timey movies where they drop the kids in Molech's mouth, when they're going through these fire tunnels, what they're doing is they're being sacrificed to Molech because they come out of that fire tunnel totally different. And that's worshiping the fire god Baal. It's abomination. I was so glad Jim brought out last night of how voodoo parallels what's going on in most charismatic churches today where they're calling it revival. It is really voodoo. Lamentations 2:9, it says, they have no vision from the Lord. Her gates are sunk into the ground. The law is no more. The prophets find no vision from the Lord. And we see that today. Ezekiel 7:26, the law perishes and people are seeking visions from false prophets. Oh my goodness, there's so many false prophets in this country. A true prophet's going to tell you to repent of your sin. A false prophet's going to tickle your ears. Zephaniah 3:4, priests and prophets are unfaithful, polluting the sanctuary and doing violence to God's law. Malachi 2:7, God's priests, God's true messengers will keep knowledge and seek the Lord, the law of His mouth. Jeremiah 8:8, the pen of the scribes have watered down the word. I'm paraphrasing these. Jeremiah 31:33, God's covenant to us is that He writes His laws on our heart. Micah 4:2, the law will go forth out of Zion. Now I want to just give you some New Testament scriptures on the law. John 7:49, the people who do not know God's law are cursed, but this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. John 7:49. Romans 2:12, every human will be judged by the law when we disobey it. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Romans 2:13, only the doers of the law will be just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For the hearers of the law are, it's not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but the doers of the law. Romans 3:31, the law is established through faith. Romans 3:31, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. It takes faith to give myself to a God that I think maybe hurt me or doesn't love me or doesn't want the best for me. Romans 4:15 says if there was no law, we could not see our sin. We have to know what it is. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Romans 5:13, sin is not imputed to us when we walk in the Spirit. There's no law. Romans 5:13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Romans 6:14, when sin has domination over us, there's no grace without repentance. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Romans 7:1, when we're dead to our flesh, the law, when we're not dead to the flesh, the law has dominion over us. And go to Romans chapter 7, and everybody takes this as a marriage between a man and a woman, but it's our marriage to Christ. And I'm going to paraphrase it as I read it. It says in verse 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law, the old man, to her husband, the old man, so long as he liveth. But if the husband, the old man, be dead, she be loosed from the law of her husband, the old man. So then if, while her husband liveth, the old man's alive, she will be married to another man, Christ, she should be called an adulteress. For if her husband be dead, the old man, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man, Christ. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another Christ, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead to the old man wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin is dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. For we know that the law is spiritual, for I am carnal, sold under sin. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. I find then that a law, when I would do good, evil is present in me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law. And, of course, Bo shared this morning that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death could be likened to you. How many of you have flown an airplane? And the plane is taking off, and it sounds like every screw in that plane is going to fly loose. You know how it sounds? Because it's the law of gravity is pulling it down. But the minute we choose to die, you could liken it to the plane when it gets to another level, another law, the law of our aerodynamics pulls it up. And you can liken that to the law of sin and death. It's only the struggle is only till you decide to die. And then when you decide to die and you choose to die, another law sets you free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Romans 8:4, when we walk in the Spirit through putting to death the deeds of the flesh, the law is fulfilled in us. Romans 8:7, the carnal unredeemed mind is at odds with God and does not subject itself to the law of God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. Lawbreakers feel the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is that law. Galatians 2:19. Being dead to my flesh allows me to live unto God. His life comes through. Galatians 3:10. Being under the law produces the deeds of the flesh. Producing the deeds of the flesh puts me back under a curse. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Deuteronomy 28:58. Violations of the law of God brings curses for Old and New Testament. Galatians 3:11, only when I'm dead to the law am I justified. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Galatians 5:3, if I'm trusting what I do to be just, then I've broken a whole law and I'm a debtor to it. Galatians 5:3, for I testify again that every man is circumcised, that he's a debtor to the whole law. And what it was saying is, if I'm trusting circumcision or the rules and regulations to save me, say I have a list. To be holy, I have to pray, I have to read my Bible, I have to have the gift of the Spirit, I have to tithe, I have to go to church. Now that's my holy list. And to be holy, I have to do all of those things. Well, on the day that I just miss one of those holy things, I'm guilty of breaking the whole thing, because that's what I'm trusting in. It's only as I die to my life that the life of the Lord Jesus comes through. James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. James 2:11, for he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. James 2:12, so speak ye and do as they that have that are judged by the law of liberty. And then Galatians 5:4, Christ has become of no effect to you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. When I'm trying to turn the potter's wheel and do all the holy things, that's legalism. And I'm in rebellion, even though I may trying to please God. There's only one thing that pleases Him. Give up. Let go. Get on the potter's wheel. Die to yourself. Come under God's control so that the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus can come through. He is your love, your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, your gentleness, your goodness, your faith, your meekness, and your self-control. And you cannot do it. You are a sinner saved by grace. Amen? And grace is not a license to sin. That's a lie that we've believed. It's a damnable doctrine that we've believed that we can, because we're saved by grace, we can live in any way we want to. That is a doctrine of a demon. Okay, stand up. Sorry, I'm had a lot of scriptures. You know, we can watch TV all day long. I can't, but... I heard of one man that took his gun out when he repented and shot the TV. So, Lord, search my heart. Where am I outside of your refuge? Lord, I ask you to seal this word to my heart so that the next time I think I have a demon problem, I'll know it's a God problem, and I'll ask you how to get rid of it and what I need to repent of. In Jesus' name, search my heart, O God. Test my thoughts. Show me, Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the path of everlasting life. And just repent of whatever the Lord shows you, and then sit down and we'll do group deliverance. It's something about the scripture. He sent his word to heal you. Jesus, the Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he sent his word to heal you. And when you read a lot of scriptures, and I so appreciate Carla and the ones that teach here, I so appreciate Bo and all the scriptures that he's given. Because you see, the word is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. And where we might feel comfortable sitting and watching TV, I'm telling you, it's hard to sit in the word because it cuts loose. It shakes something loose. It burns that stuff out of us. Glory to God. That's why it's so important to get in the Word of God. And Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. When you're through repenting, just sit down and we'll do a group deliverance, and there will be three through, and then we'll go to bed. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for breaking covenant with you and not being patient and kind Forgive me for being jealous, boastful, and rude. Forgive me for being envious, seeking my own way, acting unbecomingly, taking to an account a wrong suffered. Forgive me for having an unforgiving heart. Forgive me for being a lawbreaker. Forgive me for being a Pharisee, just having a religious spirit. Lord, forgive me for not loving you with my whole heart, mind, soul, and body. Forgive me for being quick to speak, slow to hear, and quick to anger, and not achieving your righteousness. Forgive me for loving homosexuality more than I love you. Forgive me for loving sexual sin more than I love you. Forgive me for loving money more than I love you. Forgive me for loving my idols more than I love you. I ask you to take them out, Lord. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not walking in the Spirit. Forgive me for teaching that the Old Testament is not for today. Forgive me for not fulfilling your law through walking in love. Forgive me for not bearing other people's burdens. Forgive me for being a lawbreaker. The enemy's trying to get some of you distracted to say glory, hallelujah, rather than repent. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for speaking against other people and judging my brother, speaking against your law, judging your law. Forgive me for being a hearer of the law, but not a doer of it. Forgive me for complaining, Lord, against other people. And Lord, forgive me for judging authority, leaders, rulers, presidents, kings, judges, those in authority. Lord, forgive me for not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. Forgive me for walking in the flesh. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to move the Chaldeans off of me. Lord, I ask you to show me all the open windows and the open doors in my spiritual house. In Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for hanging on to my life. Forgive me for breaking your covenant. Lord, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, forgive me for not seeking your law, doing your law, teaching your law, not being in your word, not obeying your word. Father, forgive me for not giving ear to you. Forgive me for refusing to walk according to your law. No, not hallelujah. Lord, forgive me for not walking according to your law. Forgive me, Lord, for trying to keep you from using the rod on my children. Forgive me for getting in your way, Lord, trying to be their Savior. Lord, forgive us for not letting you teach us out of your law. Forgive us for not walking according to your law. Lord, open our eyes to the revelation of your law. Give us understanding that sets us free so we can keep your law. Forgive me for pride. Forgive me for wickedness, forsaking your law. Forgive me for not remembering your law in the night season. God, forgive me for wanting gold and silver more than I want your law. Forgive me for not delighting in your law, not turning to your word, making your covenant void. Forgive me for forgetting your law, not loving your law. Forgive me for not loving your law so that I'll hate and abhor lying. Forgive me for not loving your law, which will cause me to hate abhorring and hate and abhor lying. Forgive me for not hating lying. God, forgive me for not loving your law so I could have great peace and not stumble. Forgive me for forgetting your law, forsaking your law. Lord, you said your law is a light unto my path. I've been losing my way. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for refusing to give ear to you, that your law has not gone forth from my mouth. are my life. Forgive me for not meditating on your word day and night. Forgive me for not delighting in your word. God, forgive me for not speaking according to your word. Forgive me for being a liar, stubborn and rebellious, and not magnifying your law. I forgive pastors that haven't taught me your law. Forgive me for profaning your law, violating your law, and not making a distinction between the holy and the profane, the clean and the unclean. Forgive me for being unfaithful and polluting your sanctuary and doing violence to your law. Lord, I forgive the lying pens of the scribes that have watered down and neutralized your word, or they've tried to. Lord, write your law on my heart. Forgive me for not knowing your law, which would cause me to be cursed. Forgive me for not being a doer of the law, not establishing your law through faith. Forgive me that my life has produced the fruit of the flesh, immorality, impurity, lasciviousness, licentiousness, pride, arrogance. Lord, forgive me for sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Forgive me for disputes, dissensions, and factions. Forgive me for eating up the body of Christ, eating people up with my mouth, consuming others has caused me to be consumed. Forgive me for not walking in the Spirit and putting to death the deeds of my flesh. Lord, I choose to die to my flesh. Lord, you said sin won't have dominion over me. Forgive me for letting it have dominion over me. Forgive me for not putting to death the deeds of the flesh, having a carnal and redeemed mind, not subjecting myself to the law of God, not even able to do so. Forgive me for being a lawbreaker that would cause me to feel the sting of death. Forgive me, Lord, for not presenting my body to you as a living sacrifice. I do that now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I get on your potter's wheel in the name of Jesus. Now every demon has to go. All hatred, lying, bitterness, unforgiveness, perversion, sexual perversion, masturbation, homosexuality, gluttony, self-indulgence, overindulgence. Go in Jesus' name. I break your power. I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut all perversion off. All hatred, variance, strife, emulation, contention, strife, worry, fear, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. Go in Jesus' name. All blasphemy, all bitterness, all anger, all hostility, all depression, all hurt, go in Jesus' name. All rebellion, all antichrist spirits have to go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. God's not going to look at your clay. Don't think you've got so much junk in your clay. God's going to say, clay, you're too bad. Chunk you. He's not going to say that. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Get on the potter's wheel. It's a place of rest. The potter takes out the junk. He turns the potter's wheel. He makes the clay pliable. He fashions you. He forms you. He takes out the mess. You can't do it yourself. He won't do your part, which is to yield to his lordship. Give up control. And you can't do his part, which is to make you holy and righteous. Amen. Amen. So it's not rebellion is legalism, not submission to the Lordship. That's abiding in Christ. And whoever abides in him produces much fruit, and every tree that does not bear good fruit, he cuts off and burns. So Lord, it's only, he's the fruit producer, but you've got to abide in the vine, which is submit to his Lordship. Praise the Lord. Lord, I ask you to let us have a good night's sleep. Thank you for burning stuff out by your word, that your word is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. Lord, fill us with your love, your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, your gentleness, your goodness, your faith, your meekness, and self-control. And don't allow anger in your life. Don't allow fear in your life. Don't allow perversion in your life. You get before the Lord till He gets that out of you. Amen? He'll do it. He will do it because He wants it out more than you even want it out. Amen? Bless you. Have a good night's sleep.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.